Hi, this is the Kindle Chronicles Extra, and it's the Cambridge meetup on November 11th, 2009. And we're here at the, actually just below the Kindle Chronicles studio in my living room, because we couldn't find enough room across the street at Darwin's. And I thought we'd just start recording, because everything we've talked about so far I think would be of interest to the listeners in general. So let's just go around and introduce ourselves. To my left
is Rick Askenaze.
From Charlestown?
Work in Charlestown, live in North Reading, and I've been on the podcast
before. Kindle DX owner.
Kindle DX owner. Right with here. 1,060 items on
it. Oh, my goodness. And across from him, swallowing.
Steve Windwalker, having a sandwich from Kindle Nation Daily. The sandwich is from Darwin's, and an author of various books on the Kindle, and of Arlington, Mass., and owner of a... Kindle 2 currently, past owner of a Kindle 1 and a Kindle DX, and happy to have downloaded the Kindle PC app, both to a laptop and a netbook in the last 24 hours.
Gave us our first look at it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Karen?
Yes, hi, I'm Karen Hagelin. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and here in town for our work conference in Boston, and suggested to Len that we have a meetup to talk Kindle. Very glad to be here. I'm quite an enthusiast with Kindles. I've purchased each of my Kindles on the day that they came out, the first one being November 17th, 2007, so almost 2 years ago now. I got the Kindle 2 the day it came out, and got the Kindle DX the day it came out, and really enjoy reading on the Kindle. It's really changed my experience of reading.
And you brought with you?
I'm Michael Bellotta. I'm from Huntington Woods, Michigan, near Detroit, and I'm the owner of an inherited Kindle One.
That's right, which you confess that you don't really read that much because of the types of things that you read.
That's true, but maybe that'll change with some of the new applications.
And just being here at the meetup may inspire you to drink more of the Kindle Kool-Aid.
Yes, it happened.
Well, Stephen gave me my first look, and I think probably for all of us, at the PC application, which you put on a netbook, right?
That's right.
And
I shouldn't have closed it. But.
Tell about this first time I confess I hadn't read it yet on your blog, but you talked about how they appear to have synchronized it with some of the really great ways to get content. How does that work?
Yeah, I was concerned when I first saw the app that I would only be able to use it for Kindle store purchases, which is, for instance, true with the Kindle app on the iPhone and the iPod Touch. But as I continued working through it yesterday, I found that the four primary sources of public domain books as automatic downloads onto Kindle hardware all work seamlessly with the Kindle for PC app. So, for instance, my favorite is Project Gutenberg's Magic Catalog. If you go to that site, you just Google Project Gutenberg Magic Catalog and begin downloading that to a PC with XP, Vista, or 7, and you have the Kindle for PC app already on the PC, you will be prompted to ask whether you want to open this software from Magic Gutenberg, Minibooks, Feedbooks, or Moby Pocket, Moby Guide. You'll be prompted by the browser to open it with the Windows for PC app, which suggests to me that there's been some kind of collaboration, either, or at least Amazon has decided to play nice and to work with these four third-party groups. And they are third-party groups with which there has been a little bit of contention with Amazon in the past. So I think it's a good sign in terms of openness and open platform. And then I've tried it now with all four of those and worked seamlessly, able to just... Once those are downloaded, you'll see them as book covers on your PC, and then you can click on them, you open it, and you get a catalog, and then you click on any of those, and the book is automatically downloading to
That's
your app.
Cool. That's now, to go from the PC to the Kindle, it's just the USB cable.
Well, I haven't tried it backwards onto the Kindle. That's a good question, Rick.
Because it wouldn't sync on the WhisperNet unless you get it from Amazon, right?
It wouldn't sync.
Yeah.
Right. I think to go from... I mean, what I've always done with those four sources onto my Kindle, I haven't used the USB, and I think you're suggesting that you do use the USB.
Yes, I go onto those sources frequently. In fact, I have a problem that came up I'll talk about in a few minutes. But I go onto those frequently from the Kindle and download. But I find it easier to browse the site and to look through hundreds of authors and thousands of books on the computer. It's just faster to go through them and click them and so forth like that. And then when I find the book that I want, and I click that I want it in the Kindle, AZW, Mobi Pocket format, whichever, I forget, they each have slightly different wording, it'll open up the window, the PC window that'll say open or save. I then click save, and my Kindle is already attached by the USB cable, and then I save it to the documents folder on the Kindle itself. It never downloads onto the computer at all. It just sort of goes through it.
Yeah.
Onto the Kindle. That's how I do it. But I find that more efficient for me than actually trying to browse those sites from the Kindle itself. I will tell you is that the main time that I do it from the Kindle itself is when I'm demonstrating it to somebody. Mm. Is when I'm showing the Kindle to someone. You got to see what this can do.
Yeah.
Aside from the Amazon bookstore, which is, you know, $9.99 or less for most of the stuff, there's all this free book stuff, and here is how you do it, and I actually will download a book and demonstrate
it
for them.
That's the wow factor.
But when I'm doing it for myself, more often than not, I just find it faster to do it from the computer. So
I would assume that on the PC, you could go into the directories, find those titles that you downloaded from one of those four places, and then wouldn't there be like a paired... file that has, well, there aren't going to be annotations because you can't do them on the PC, but if you just move the PRC file over or whatever format it was in.
I haven't gone far enough inside the folders. What I can say is that the PC app folder on my C drive doesn't, those listings don't look like they look from when I look at my Kindle with my computer or Finder. I'm not sure. They may well work backwards that way, but
well,
I don't know that they will.
What I have done, not using the Kindle for PC, but just going onto one of these sites, Gutenberg or Minibooks or FeedBooks, going onto the site, sometimes I've downloaded it to my computer in the AZW format, in the Kindle format. I have a separate Kindle folder in my PC.
Right.
Okay, on my C drive, I have a separate Kindle folder, and in it are all these books that I have downloaded. Now, if I want to... that was Stephen's lunch. If I want to then put it onto the computer, I open up the Kindle folder on the PC. I open up the Kindle documents folder on the Kindle with it being attached, and then I just... drag and click, click and drag, or but drag and drop, or whatever it is, I forget the terminology, onto the Kindle documents folder and copies that way. I would assume that would be the same thing with this.
Huh.
You know, it's interesting listening to all of you, because I have to confess something here. Even though I'm pretty technologically savvy, I actually have never used the USB cable and hooked up my Kindle to my PC.
Interesting.
I've just left it alone. I'm just a purist. I will browse books at the Amazon Kindle store on my PC and then send them to my
wireless
Kindle.
Yeah, yeah, you buy it and then turn on the WhisperNet.
Right, because I tend to like to browse more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
there, you know,
I agree.
Like
I do the same
computer.
Thing.
Sometimes I'll do it right from the Kindle.
One of the nice...
Actually never connected it, and I'm kind of proud of that fact.
You're a USB virgin.
That's exactly right.
One of the nice things about the PC, the Kindle for PC app that I at least nice to me, and it sort of squares with what you were saying about the relative pleasure of shopping for Kindle books in the website Kindle store, as opposed to the Kindle's Kindle store, which is small print, you have not too much information, multiple pages to get at a review, that kind of thing. If you're in the Kindle, in the Kindle for PC app, and you click on shop in the Kindle store, you're taken. It immediately opens up a new tab in your browser.
Oh.
you go to the Kindle store that way, and it's seamless. It happens just like that. And then what I haven't noted, what I haven't checked on then is I assume that when I'm taken that way into my Amazon account's Kindle store, yeah. On my browser, I don't know if I will find that that anything that I buy will automatically by default come back to the Kindle for PC app, or will I have the same option of sending it to my Kindle?
Well, when you buy a second Kindle, your Amazon Kindle page will now have two Kindles on there.
Right now,
will it have the Kindle PC as well, Steve?
Yep. Yeah. But I mean, right now, there are four options. I think on my page it says Steve's Kindle or Windwalker's Kindle or whatever it says, and the second thing is Danny's iPod Touch, uh-huh. And third is Kindle for PC.
Okay, so
and fourth is because of the netbook, Kindle for PC too. So
and of course, all of these are one of your 5 to 6 licenses for your Amazon books, I would assume.
Yeah. Except for if you happen to buy something like the complete user's guide to the amazing Amazon Kindle 2 at the Kindle store.
Unlimited, huh?
You have unlimited.
I can't believe that took 10 minutes.
Or, same applies for Lady Chatterley's Lover, the complete unexpurgated text with...
Also brought to you by...
With the original Stephen Windwalker. Into
well, as long as we're talking of Stephen's books, I have to say that I read his book, I forget the title, Stephen, on the economic breakdown.
The Worried Citizen's Little Survival
Guide. And that is absolutely a terrific
book. I just happen to remember the title.
There you go. Right. That's really very excellent. Real in plain language.
And the novel. What's the novel I'm reading?
Say My Name.
That's it. It's a great novel.
Oh, I mean, it sounds like a plug, but it's actually called...
Say My Name by Stephen Windwalker.
Who's on first?
This is pathetic. Oh, I got to tell you this story. This will only take a minute. And I listened to this on my Kindle. I did not buy... this wonderful book that I am listening to on my Kindle. I did not buy the Kindle version of Al Silverman's wonderful book about the golden age of the book publishing industry in the mid-20th century, whose title I can't exactly recall, but it was $15.48 in the Kindle store. However, I use my monthly credit with Audible.com to download the audiobook version of it, and I'm listening to it, and there's this wonderful book, wonderful story in the book about how this fellow who's running a little literary magazine in Paris, and he's trying to get in touch with Sam Beckett because he's been told that there's a good chance he'll be able to use a short story. And ultimately, Beckett knocks on this guy's door on a rainy Saturday night, and this tall, gaunt figure is at his door, and the guy opens the door. I can't remember his name, but Samuel Beckett's standing there, and he says, "Here's what? Here's what? Not Malloy, not Malone dies, but what? W-A-T-T." And they did the whole Albert and Costello routine about Samuel Beckett's novel, then unpublished, called What. He's an Irishman, so he would say, "Here's what."
And yeah. For those of you rock and roll fans, I once heard a clip that talked about the Who as being who, and the and the Guess Who, and was all picking up on the Albert and Costello theme in some context.
Ripples through the culture.
Yeah, it ripples through the culture, absolutely right.
So that brings up a non-Kindle point. Michael and I were walking on Newbury Street yesterday and ran right into Roger Daltrey of The Who. He was in town on a Sunday night. I didn't know that, but there he was.
Yes, wow. He played at the House of Blues.
Nobody knows what it's like. The sad.
Yeah. My daughter was copying down at Kinko's, and John Malkovich was there, so she was...
Well, he lives in this area.
Yeah.
Where does he live? Right.
I think he lives around
Cambridge.
Yeah. A neighbor, so...
I once saw him at a Little League game up on St. Peter's Field.
David Gergen lives just around the street here, too, so...
Oh, really?
A lot of his smartest stuff on CNN comes from running into me on the street.
Yeah, we're not buying that one, Len.
No, not at all.
I want to change topics for a second. Len, you mentioned in your podcast last week and that you're thinking of getting yourself a Nook.
Yeah, I've ordered
and
it.
And I was very intrigued by the Nook. I think we've all been reading about it.
You've got one on order, don't you? You have one on order?
I do have one on order. I'm not so sure I'm going to pull the trigger.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What will help you? What will be your decision? Or what will be the factors?
Well, if I think it's still a story,
yeah,
I'm more likely to get it. Yeah. I mean, I thought that I should get it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I have a feeling that the Nook may be history by the end of the first quarter of next year.
It may not
even. You're talking about the lawsuit?
Not so, the lawsuit is one ingredient, but I just think that it's a real thud so far.
Yeah. Well, they're going to suffer from having started out with such high expectations. There's nowhere to go but down. Yeah. And some of this pricing information that comes out,
the pricing that's pretty bad. And I think the the poor job they did of backtracking on the sharing issue.
Oh, loan a book? Karen, would you like to loan me your Kindle book? Oh, on the Nook, you can only do it once
that's
for 14
right.
days.
And
nobody
read it
understands
while it's
that. It's the sound bite that you can lend books.
Yeah.
But when you look at the fine print, you realize what the limitations are.
And
it's really not that great.
Publishers may just shut it down.
Oh, I would assume so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would assume that they would.
Yeah.
Although, what do we see? I would say we're still seeing 80-85% of the books have text-to-speech.
Yeah, and it seems to be increasing.
Only the really popular ones don't.
I think they're
well,
back.
No, everything has text-to-speech except Random House.
Yeah.
But
every publisher that you see that does not have text-to-speech, that's how you tell if it's owned by Random House. Random House, Doubleday, Bantam, Ballantine, those are all Random House imprints. Random House owns a large percentage of.
Are they backtracking at all?
Random House? No.
I heard some stories
of an
author that forced them to open it up.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was a Random House offer, though.
Hmm.
But
I think it was digital text platform. I think it was a self-published author.
But digital text platform, you don't have a choice to disable it.
Some way it was disabled, but they got it turned on. As I said, I remember reading that one. So it's. I think the Nook strikes me as being a lot of win with absolutely very minimal substance.
Yeah.
I'm curious what that second screen is going to do. I mean, and also what's the keyboard like? I mean, I think I'll know within 30 minutes.
Well, the keyboard is on the
virtual.
LCD screen.
Right? Yeah. So I mean, is it hard to use or is it?
Take your camera, take a 3.5-inch screen on your camera. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I guess all you use it for is covers of books or a keyboard, it seems. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's not, it's strictly cosmetic, basically.
Strictly cosmetic.
Yeah.
Is there something like a cursor? Like, can you locate in the text on the e-ink screen and highlight? Or I wonder how that stuff works.
I haven't seen any indication.
I think it has a dictionary built in.
But not as many words. It's a smaller dictionary.
I'm waiting for Amazon to come on with the full unabridged dictionary. I'd like them to do that. Give us that option to.
It'd be nice if you could switch dictionaries.
Yeah.
I'd love the ability to read in French and have the definitions at the bottom of the page be French to English or vice versa.
Well, there are French to English dictionaries.
Yeah, but you can't load them.
Oh, they're not. They're not. A default that you can make?
I don't think there's a way to put a new default dictionary into the Kindle so that it's what shows up at the bottom of the screen.
Oh, there used to be.
Really?
I wrote about it.
Oh, yes, you can do that, but you can do it with the foreign language dictionaries,
and
I'm not
sure. And I tried
it
with another dictionary, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You can do it. That's why I'm hoping that they'll come out with the Webster's or whatever it is, unabridged dictionary. Give me 1 million words rather than 240,000.
So OED would work for me.
Yeah, me too. Well, the one they've got in there is huge.
Yeah.
I very seldom find a word that I can't find in the dictionary.
Okay. How often do you use it?
Well, I use it a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
you can go to Google, you can go to Wikipedia also. I find myself doing that quite often.
Yeah.
I'm surprised myself at how often I'm looking up. I mean, if you're reading a book and if it's a well-written book, the context of the sentence is going to tell you what the definition is anyway. But yes, I do look it up myself. I like to see it. Although I admit I don't necessarily write them down. But
that's one of the big differences in reading on the Kindle is you get used to that luxury of having the definitions right there. And then if you are forced to read on paper, which I don't like to do too often, but when I do, as I'm reading along, I'm like, oh, I don't have that dictionary right there.
Yes,
and I'm too lazy to get up and get a dictionary and interrupt that
same
flow
reaction.
State of reading.
I'm reading my newspaper and I see a word in there, which doesn't happen too often, but does this. I can't just look it up.
Right.
I'll be reading along, Karen, and I'll see you.
That's barbaric.
I need narration on that, but
yeah, that's right. Well, we can hear it.
And the same thing with the reading the Kindle for iPhone application too. You miss the dictionary there too.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I do read on
I'm glad they added the highlighting and the notes to that.
That was a nice.
Do you do that, Karen? Do you
Yes, I do.
As part of your regular reading?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes late at night, you know, when I don't want to use, I don't have a flip-on light for the Kindle, and so I'll use. I always have my iPhone right next to me on the nightstand, so I might read a few pages that way, or just. Mm-hmm. On the off chance of waiting in line somewhere.
Yeah. No, I was referring
to Kindle with me.
I was referring to highlighting or making notes in a book.
Occasionally, not a lot. But
I have to say, I don't really do that much.
But
you do it, Len?
Yeah, I was reading Nicholson Baker's latest novel, which is pretty good. But you know, he's the guy that had the big screed in the New York in the New Yorker. So I'm sort of arguing with him as I'm reading because he mentions this poet Swinburne, who's like an old time poet. So I not only looked him up on Wikipedia, I went to Gutenberg Magic Catalog, downloaded a Swinburne book, read some verse, and I'm thinking, you can't do that on your, you know, paper book, but it's true. I mean, there you are in bed.
Well, we were talking about the highlighting and the notes just now, and I think that the PC, the Kindle for PC, has it or will have it?
Yeah.
Here's what they have. They have you can bookmark, and that's it. But you can see
the notes that you have on your Kindle.
You can see the notes and highlighting that you have from the Kindle when you're reading something on the PC. And they say that they will be adding annotation. They hope to add annotation in the future. One of the
See that to me is a big plus because if I could be reading a book on my PC or Mac. And typing notes and stuff, that ends up being a real advance. In what
I see it a little bit differently. I see let's assume this all gets implemented and works over the next few months, whether it's for the Mac and all the note taking.
I think
so
Fried
forth.
Is probably listening as well.
Well, that's fine. That's good. He should be subscribing to this podcast. I see it
Jeff,
this way.
How are you?
I see us reading the book on the Kindle.
Right.
You want to make a note, especially a substantial note, more than just two or three words. You fire up the PC, you get the book on the PC, now you type your note, which
next
is going to be much easier.
Yeah.
And then when you're all finished with your session, they'll sync together.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be reading the book on the PC because you're going to be reading it on the Kindle. But if you want to make some substantial notes, you'll open it up on the PC, do it that way, and then go back to reading it on the Kindle.
Well, remember, you're speaking as somebody who already has a Kindle.
Yeah.
There are 100 billion. No, there are a billion PCs in the world.
Right.
Yeah, right. A billion.
And what, maybe 2 million Kindles.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for me not to assume that there will be an awful lot of people buying Kindle content, wanting to get something first day, wanting to get something for $9.99, wanting to get some, you know, classics for nothing, 99 cents, whatever, and using the Kindle, breaking in through the Kindle PC
app.
if that figure becomes, say, 1 million a year new users, I think that's going to be good for Kindle hardware sales because people are going to get sucked in and want to get a Kindle.
Right.
But I also think that a lot of people will get comfortable. My 11-year-old son is perfectly happy reading books on a PC screen.
Right.
Not something I would do.
Yeah.
But he grew up reading on a computer screen.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, and one of the things I'd like to see the Kindle team do with
picking up his 8-inch netbook.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say that like the narrator on the
golf course,
the 17th hole.
Picks up the town.
Anyway, what I'd like to see them do with the PC app is give you the option of reading it, I guess you'd say, in landscape, although you know what I'm trying to say, in portrait, so that you could hold the app,
hold
the netbook like a book.
Yeah.
And then that would make it very easy to read here, to go back, to type in notes.
So you can fold that over so that it's flat the other way?
I don't think they would do that.
But somebody will come up with that.
What about these new readers that they're coming out with dual screens? I'm talking about the side-by-side screens.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand
I don't get
that.
The point, but...
Neither do I.
Whatever. I mean, you know, it's a hardware...
It's a
hardware race to Gadgethead Nirvana, but nobody cares at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, in other words, the people they're selling the Kindle to and the Kindle for PC app to, they want to read.
Yeah.
And so the problem with so much of what's happening in the ebook reader field now is that it's gadget head driven.
Yeah.
Because those are the people who work for those companies.
Yeah.
But they don't have the reader's soul, and they're not trying to figure out what is going to be.
I mean, that's Amazon's genius. Yeah. They stay pretty true to the reader's soul.
So all these other things are really distractions from reading. Yeah. I mean, when I'm reading on my iPhone, then I get a ding that I got an email.
Yeah.
So then I'll stop reading and I'll check the email, or I'll check my tweets or my Facebook. And it's all distracting. There are too many things to do.
Yeah.
Whereas
point.
When I sit
Absolutely.
Down with the Kindle, I know I've got a dedicated reading session
that's
in the store.
Something.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. They can't get you.
Right, that's right.
I love that.
I read Abhi's column, iReadAReview.com is his blog. Do you read it at all, Carol?
Occasionally,
yeah,
yes.
I think he's excellent. He had a blog.
What's the address again?
iReadAReview.com. There you go, for Abhi. It's great stuff. He's been on your podcast at least once. But he had a post about a couple of weeks ago that I thought was really funny, where he talked about he had just bought his first iPhone, and he had it about 2 weeks. And he says, this thing is absolutely amazing. The interface is so credible. But I'll never read because there's so many other things
right.
to do on it.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's
right.
really where it is.
Like,
but when you talk
bomb.
About the Kindle for PC as getting people to buy books and read it, I still think the iPhone is the first place that they would do it more so than on a Kindle PC.
No doubt. I mean, but you know, it kind of depends what you want to read. If you want to read novels, if you want to read biographies. Or,
longer
know,
fiction. Longer works.
Either the Kindle or the PC.
Yeah.
I mean, not the PC, but the iPhone, the iPod Touch. I think those work just fine.
Better too. Yeah.
But if you want tables and graphics and medical charts and so forth, which a lot of people, I had a 20-minute phone conversation before I came over with somebody, head of a curriculum department, a school system in South Carolina, emailed me because she couldn't get her app working. Anyway, we ended up talking about the ways in which her whole school system is using Kindles in Charleston or somewhere in Columbia, South Carolina, I think it was, Margaret Weldon. And she, you know, I said, you know, you gotta say, she's doing a presentation for the whole school district, next month, and I said, you got to send me your materials from that, because I think there are so many people doing exciting things at the professional level, at organizational level, with the Kindle now, and probably not communicating that much to each other about some of the amazing things you can do with it. Sadly, it's an area that Amazon really hasn't boosted, and I think they should.
I think they've just been so focused. Well, you
got
a little more inside there on putting out A, Kindle books, expanding the bookstore, and B, new Kindles, and that there's only so far that they can do. I mean, I'm not really faulting them on it. I think the whole social networking of the Kindle is something that Amazon should do
potential.
More about.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, their Kindle forum is good. I post on it. Do you post on it, Karen?
No, I don't think I ever have.
If you go into the books of Kindle discussions. There's a Kindle forum. It's really quite active. And also the KindleBoards.com is an excellent forum.
Mm-hmm.
I post on that a lot.
I do subscribe to the Kindle Corner, the Yahoo.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I find the Yahoo groups.
I
haven't done them as much. But the idea is, you know, the main thing I'm looking for them more than anything else is, give me a new author that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what? Give me a book that I should be, you know, that's always the starting point. That's why we're reading in the first place.
Yeah.
But also tips and suggestions and answering questions and that kind of a thing, mm-hmm. so... I'm also intrigued, changing topic slightly, about the whole international Kindle thing and where this is all.
Now, does the PC app work internationally?
Yes, it does. Same countries. In other words, apparently not in Canada.
Huh.
So I think
the Canada thing is still delayed. That's
New Zealand. There's still some build out coming, but
so it can tell from how you're getting on the internet whether
wherever your Amazon address is.
Oh, I see.
The first thing you have to do when you download the app is register with an email address for your Amazon account.
Yeah.
And if that's from Canada, I think you're going to end up not being able to take it down.
Is that the same thing as on your Kindle, manage your Kindle page, choosing your country?
Yeah. In fact, one of the things that I do, and maybe I shouldn't say this, I hope I don't get shut down as a result, but I for whatever reason, typed in an alternate address for the Telegraph in London,
right?
Just because it's on It's in Buckingham Terrace.
Was it like Fleet Street or something?
Yeah, yeah. And because I wanted to have an international address to compare the catalog.
The bookstore.
So I put that in there, and I can toggle back and forth between Arlington, Mass. And Buckingham.
Fleet Street.
Yes. And
so your alter ego lives.
Whereas I have 373,000 titles in the Kindle store U.S. now. If I go across the pond, I only have 287,000. That was
apparently there's because I've been reading a lot of the postings both on.
I hope I didn't get in trouble.
Well, I will tell you, no, it's very active. It's
as
being
long
very
you're only one place at a time. I think it's probably right.
It's being very actively discussed on the Kindle forums about how do you purchase books if you're in a country that has a more limited thing, and supposedly at least. But I understand it, and I don't have all the details on it. You can register yourself to another country as long as you have an address in that country. You can still use
I recommend the Telegraph.
There you go, the Telegraph, Fleet Street, London. Mm-hmm. Someone did it. Someone from another country wanted the U.S. bookstore, which is the largest. So the address was 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. That's true, apparently. Anyway, and you can do that because it's not, and you don't have to have a credit card that's with that country, and then you can still download it, or else you can use a gift card to purchase it. So there seems to be, at the moment, some ways to get some workarounds, and there are some postings that are on it that you can take a look at. I'm not advocating it.
At this point, I would like to say, actually, that nobody, none of the five of us would think of violating the terms and conditions of our Kindle accounts and thereby
I have them tattooed on my chest actually.
suggesting to anyone that
Never.
They do anything exactly. that violates the terms.
Wait a second, you have the hack for the putting your photos on the Kindle.
Well, that doesn't violate anything, does it? I think they said there was some information on the
I think you're right.
Kindle support that it didn't violate it, but that they wouldn't support it. So you
That's
can't
right.
call up.
Yeah,
and say,
I will say this
help
that
me with my hack.
I do think that. Two things. One, I think the idea of being able to put your photos on there. Does it rotate photos?
Yep.
Like, oh, it does. Okay, I wasn't sure about. Because apparently, I guess you could do that with the Nook. You could put, but you get one photo. That's it.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Is that right?
But I guess
do
I
you
know,
use
I,
that.
I wasn't aware.
No, I
haven't. No, and I haven't touched it either. But
I just like to keep it the way it is. I'm a kind of a purist that way.
Yeah, that's it. You don't use the USB. You don't touch
no.
it. What do? Are you subscribing to anything or just books?
Oh, I do subscribe to the New York Times and the San Francisco paper and the Detroit Free Press.
What,
do you,
I love
do you
the fact
subscribe
that
you're
in Detroit
and
reading
Yorker
the Times
and
any blogs?
The Nation.
Any blogs?
No blogs.
I thought you said not the Kindle Nation blog. No.
Well, I get that on the PC. I read that on the PC.
That's only
because I know you can get that on the Kindle.
Again. I've heard
I haven't
that.
Done that. And lots of books.
It's on mine.
I wanted to suggest something that struck me as interesting that. I don't know if you noticed this, but there was a piece in a news story on the Hill,
mm-hmm.
Which is a
yep.
congressional gossip sheet, I think, about Orrin Hatch, my beloved Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah, making history last week by being the first person spotted with a Kindle in the Senate chamber.
Really?
And apparently it was civil disobedience because you're not allowed to have electronic devices in the Senate chamber. And I think it's a good sign if Orrin Hatch spends a couple of years reading on the Kindle, he'd be ready, in my opinion, to cast another vote on anything. the thing that it got me thinking about, though, is that remember Obama's initiative about public policy and having legislation digitally available
right,
to
right.
all Americans immediately,
yeah.
and anything that came out of the White House digitally available immediately. And it just struck me as such, it would be such a wonderful thing and would make so much sense for Amazon to give Kindles to every member of Congress,
yeah.
to automatically have all legislation free
right.
on the Kindle,
yep.
available for free from the Kindle store,
mm-hmm.
and available simultaneously to any citizen,
yeah.
lobbyist,
yeah.
citizen,
what's
whatever.
What's that, Thomas or something? There's like a website that has all the
yeah.
congressional stuff.
Yeah,
on.
It would be. I would think it would be easy and seamless
yeah.
to make all of that flow to the Kindle
catalog.
And you could opt out or opt in or something, but that would be wild.
Well, you would only get what you wanted to get, but it would be such a public service. And
there's a guy, one of the senators from Wyoming has a Kindle, and I've been trying to get him on the show because I know his chief of staff. And mm-hmm. And
because you lived out there for a while.
Yeah, I knew him.
Democrat?
No.
Because I heard there were a couple in
there. Are there any?
They're kept in a corral up in Cody, Wyoming, the two Democrats. Actually, the governor's a Democrat there,
right.
So
yeah.
Good guy. But and then there was, I think it was in that same article in The Hill, where they said that Enzi liked his Kindle so much he got one for his chief of staff. So I sent this guy a message saying, you know, you can lead a chief of staff to a Kindle, but can you make him read? You know, are you actually using this thing? I haven't heard back from him. So, but that would be a natural. But you think that violates the rule on the Senate floor? Or?
That's what The Hill was actually.
I suppose, can they not have cell phones on the?
Apparently they're not supposed to have cell phones or other electronic devices, smartphones or anything like that.
But can they have a calculator to add up the cost of the healthcare plan?
I don't think so.
No.
Doesn't have enough digits anyway, right?
But I think that perhaps they haven't. Whoever's making those rules for this.
My big thing is this. I got to believe Obama's using one of these things, but that he's probably very careful not to ever be photographed with one because he's got friends in the bookstore.
Well, it's probably in his living space.
Yeah.
Or maybe in the briefcase on a plane or something else like that. So
it's usually seen with paper books.
Yeah.
He purchases from the 57th Street Bookstore in Chicago.
That's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's Hyde Park.
What's that one in D.C. that's the big independent?
Politics and Prose.
Yeah.
And it's sort of
they invited him to adopt Politics and Prose as his independent bookstore.
That's a tough one. I talked with for this week's show, I talked to James Fallows, who's senior correspondent at The Atlantic, and we were talking about bookstores, you know, and like, how do you justify, and it's just a struggle. He says it's a tragedy. You know that what's going to happen.
Same thing with newspapers in a way, what's happening to the Globe or whoever.
I read somebody was saying that they had this commitment that every time they bought an e-book, they went in and bought a purchase, print book.
Nice if you can afford it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't think that's really going to save the industry if it depends on that kind of stuff.
It's a real quandary for me because I love both the Kindle and I still love going to bookstores.
I do too. Chatter covering Denver.
And that's always what I've done when I've traveled is to figure out what the best independent bookstores are in town. And then I lost my favorite independent bookstore just this past summer, the Shame and Drum in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Mm. And that was really sad to see that go. And
that's where the original Borders was, wasn't it?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
To me, that was one of the things that intrigued me about the Nook, is that there's a bookstore I can go into with an e-book, you know, and
not get frowned on.
And I feel guilty.
I've always thought that if you were a smart independent bookstore, would there be some way to, you know, maybe working with Amazon so that if somebody's in your store and they see something and they buy it in your Kindle, you get a buck or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it makes perfect sense at some point, and I've blogged about this, but at some point somebody's going to figure out that you can bundle print books and e-books. When you go up to you go up to the counter to buy your copy of, you know, The Lost Symbol or Say My Name, and you...
Who wrote that one?
And somebody's the person at the counter says, thanks, and if you look for an extra 99 cents, I'll give you a coupon. You can go over to that kiosk, insert your Kindle or whatever the device is, and you can have an ebook version of it as well. And you know, we can all get along. There's a way to do this, and unfortunately, the lines, the ideological lines between bookstores and Kindle and whoever is the boogeyman of the day. Get drawn so hard that that none of those players try to think about how they can work together to also.
Boy, the first one that moved in that direction, it'd be a really
strong. Well, is Google the boogeyman of the day? Where they're trying to take over all their various applications now, and Google Books and putting them out there, trying to put Amazon out, even trying.
When is their bookstore? It opens up in June or something, I think.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's no indication to me that they're going to have a competitive catalog.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to have 700,000 or 1.5 million public domain titles.
Mm-hmm. Most of which nobody wants to read.
Yeah, unfortunately, but
yeah, well, it's just not, a reality.
Nonetheless,
Swinburne.
I haven't seen any indication that any of these other players, you know, and I happen to be somebody. I think that Brewster Kahle is a terrific thinker.
That's the Internet Archive guy.
Yeah. But they all render themselves irrelevant by failing to figure out how to dovetail their efforts with the efforts that are thriving.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think print on demand is something that has some legs to it. That people who don't want e-books, can't read them, whatever it is, really prefer a print book.
Well,
can go into
espresso.
A place, yeah. Espresso type machine, and they can order a book and pick it up 15 minutes later as it gets printed out for what, $10-$12 a copy or something else like that. Nothing terribly expensive.
Those. Are they in stores anywhere?
I think they have one at the Harvard bookstore.
There are a growing number of bookstores that are trying it out. North Shire. Is it North Shire in Manchester, Vermont? They were one of the first that did it. Unfortunately, I think the economics of that are
the machines
are
very expensive.
Right.
Unless they lease them.
Whereas Amazon's print on demand is frankly now the model for most publishers' midlist.
Right.
For anything that's not a bestseller, you can't beat the idea of you don't need an inventory. I just helped a guy publish a 140-page paperback that's actually something that people should pick up on their Kindles. It's called No Canary in the Quanta.
What's that about? That's the one you took the trip
about
for?
The Large Hadron Collider. And it's just a fascinating piece of work on you know, who gets to decide if physicists get to gamble the planet on a science experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I helped him do this the Kindle version, and also I'm helping him a little bit bringing it to paperback.
In a self-published format.
Yeah, well, what's the difference?
No, I'm just saying, I mean, he's not through a publisher.
He's not going through Random House.
Right.
It's a 140-page paperback, 6x9. The printing cost is $2.40 a unit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that used to be the cost if you wanted to print 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So he can price it at $14.95. Amazon owns CreateSpace. It's immediately on Amazon. Every time Amazon sells a copy, it sends him $7. What's not to like about that?
And
whereas the old print on demand or an espresso book machine, that would have cost him $25 to print a copy.
Oh, wow.
Immediately nobody's going to do that. This Amazon, it's priced at $14.95. Amazon will probably discount it to $10.17. You know, which is...
Is he doing an e-book version at the same time?
The e-book on the Kindle right now,
yeah.
You can get it...
It's on Stephen's website.
As a matter of fact, it is.
$4.99.
Or you can get a free sample.
Karen, do you have any books that you'd like to pitch or other products that...
Not really.
Michael, what's your business?
No. This is...
Are you here for the medical conference?
I'm so sorry,
I'm just along with Karen for the medical
conference. No, we're having fun at your expense, Stephen. It's worth it.
Actually, being from Detroit, I'm an unemployed automotive engineer at this time. So,
there's a book.
Which company did
you? I should write a book on that.
Absolutely.
I actually probably could.
Then you can work with Steve on getting
a book.
Kindle license self-published, and there you go.
My daily.
Did you work for one of the auto companies?
I did, but I was as a contract engineer, so I was never a direct hire with them for quite some long time. It's interesting listening to your conversations. You know, a couple of things that have struck me. You know, I was telling Len earlier that, you know, since I read a lot of automotive stuff and also automotive history, that type of stuff, it just isn't the type of books that are being Kindleized in that, at least not on the Amazon site. You know, I also follow a lot of current events. You talked about how people like the iPhone and use it for a lot of different things, and I've just found the iPhone to just be wonderful for the internet and for keeping up with current events. I do a better job of that than when I used to do that on the PC. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I could see at least with having the Kindle application, that's just another good use for the device.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, Karen. Do you get a newspaper delivered? Do you
we
read a physical
to.
Newspaper
we
every day?
We used to get a physical copy of the New York Times delivered every
but
day.
Now you just
once the Kindle came out, that was it.
For both that and your Detroit paper.
Yes.
Mike.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was happy when we got rid of the physical copy of the New York Times and went on the Kindle, because I was the guy that used to have to haul the bags out to the curb of the old New York Times to, for recycling and that. So gets this old. Is this is yeah, it gets old and so this is much better.
Len, what about you?
I subscribe to the Financial Times. I get that every day. I used to subscribe to the.
I'm talking about physical paper.
No physical paper.
Steve. Mm-hmm.
Sunday Times. Used to get the Sunday Globe. It just got thinner and thinner and thinner.
Well, you're an old newspaper guy, so yeah. It dies hard.
I worked at the Globe.
Yeah.
40 years ago. But, yeah.
Well, I guess I still am a Neanderthal. I still get two papers a day. I get the Globe, and then I have to read my New York Post, because I've got to get all that that good trash stuff in there. The one thing I have to say, it's funny, my wife and my 22-year-old son pour through the Post. Well, my wife reads a lot anyway, but my son, 22-year-old son, pours through the Post every day. I'm really pleased to see him read a newspaper. And then what I do now, what I have done for the last 6 months or so, is I get the Sunday Times on the Kindle. At 75 cents, I just can't beat it.
Yeah.
I just go on that morning, I click on it, I have it in 2 minutes, and for 75 cents, I get the Sunday Times. I can't beat that.
It's amazing to me how often I do both, either with a newspaper or with a book. I mean...
Really?
Yeah. I don't do it... I don't want to say I do it all the time, but at any given time, I'm likely to be... to have two books that I've got going that either I'm reading both in print and on the Kindle, or I'm reading on the Kindle and also listening to in not as text-to-speech, but as
an audiobook, huh?
Book form with a good reading. Because I just find it nice to be able to toggle back and forth. There are times when I want to fall asleep listening to it, to something, as opposed to falling asleep reading. I'm capable of doing both.
Yeah.
Karen, do you do much with text-to-speech?
No, not much at all. I have, no, really not enjoyed that feature.
I've just started with it. I was, I'm taking a course without getting the details, and so we're doing Henry James's Turn of the Screw. Mm-hmm. So I started reading it, and I basically found it impossible to read. Just impossible to read. A full page was one paragraph. It was just very intimidating text.
Yeah, it's dense.
So I put it on the text-to-speech. I personally like the female voice. And I found it worked pretty well.
Have you given her a name?
Yeah, what do you call it?
No, I don't.
Your name,
and I don't name my Kindle either.
Mine's Ursula.
Ursula. Right?
Ooh. Uh-huh.
After Ursula Brangwen. Women in Love.
Mm-hmm. Have you named your Kindle?
Andrus.
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
It's funny. I posted on the Amazon blog some months ago that I thought it was really silly that people named their Kindle. And boy, did I get a backlash! Oh, don't spoil our fun! You killed... And I was wrong. If they want to do it, I guess. There's no harm.
Yes, you were.
I said, you name your children and your pets, that's about it.
Well, it shows you how people really have taken to their
Kindles.
Yeah,
very
when
attached.
They, you know, attach them and name them. Like
I mean,
that.
This
I
whole
was,
cover business gets into that, too. People
yes.
get so attached to different covers. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Karen doesn't name her Kindle, but with every Kindle she gets her own unique carrying case for it.
Oh,
so I like
where
that.
Did that come
yeah,
from?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, who made
this
that?
This is Janine King, and she has an online website and makes Kindle size bags, makes them for the
it's
Kindle
got an
2
outer
and for
zipper.
The Kindle
so,
GX, and it just provides that
Karen,
little extra
Karen,
padding.
If I may give
how did
Len
you market them? How
for
did
the Kindle.
Yeah. Now, how did you find out about them?
I think I did a Google search.
Okay, good.
Karen, give Len the website so we can post it up on the
okay,
show notes page.
Idea.
That kind
yeah.
of a thing. So mm-hmm. I just had to.
I didn't think Len allowed plugs on his show.
Ah,
no, we're
well,
totally
especially for someone who's not
freebie.
Here, it's a freebie for her. So.
I did my first. You know, now you can put a Twitter link up that goes back through your associate thing.
And oh, I, can you?
Yeah. And I did that. I felt
I do it about
like
40
boy,
a day,
I've,
actually. But.
So you do that. You mean just in when you tweet, there's a link back through your associates?
I do it with Bitly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is some... You can be like on a Amazon page, and there's a bar now for the associates.
Okay, yeah.
And you just click tweet this, and then it pulls up a tweet that you can change.
All right.
And the link itself, if somebody clicks on it, they're going to go to the Amazon page, and it's your associate information that's there.
Very nice.
Right from the Amazon page.
Very nice.
So I did that with a cover, that Cole Haan cover I had.
Yeah,
I said,
yeah.
You know, this is the, you know, I like this cover. And somebody came back and said, oh, that's just the one I wanted. And,
cool.
You know, I thought, but I sort of wondered, is it you know, should I disclose that if you click on this link, I'm going to get some associates benefit? Or it felt a little bit gray to me.
It's tough.
I don't think you have to disclose.
I mean, people aren't paying
it doesn't
anymore.
Cost anybody
yeah,
any money.
Paying, yeah, they aren't paying.
But it's
anymore.
Still.
I try and mention once or twice a month in Kindle Nation that I have this thing.
Yeah.
Without doing it in a way that's like a confessional.
Right.
There is this funny kind of thing going on where Federal Trade Commission apparently is investigating. Not that, but people doing reviews after having gotten review copies sent to them, which just seems to me, please, we don't have better things to look at than that.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say this, when I bought my DX, I didn't think to do it through an associates link. I just went on the Amazon site and did it. Which was before I knew your stuff, Steve. But actually, if I to be honest, and don't take offense, either of you two guys who are Amazon associates, I would have done it through my local library. My library on the library website is an Amazon click. Oh. And if I go into the library, click on Amazon, and then buy a book, my local library gets some money. Okay. I should have done it for the Kindle. I didn't think of it till afterwards.
There ought to be, that's another independent bookstore opportunity.
Absolutely.
For guilty Kindle users, if you click through the tattered cover, they get a benefit.
And they have this ideological...
But there's no reason that you have to disclose it, because it's not costing anybody anything.
I'm writing that down. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we'll wrap this up. This has been fascinating. Thank you
it's
all.
It's been fun.
This
Thank
is
you.
The first annual Cambridge...
and the Darwin's coffee was
annual.
Good.
Well, annual, I heard that. I don't know, something like that at least. So here we are signing off from Cambridge.
So, go ahead. Are you going to help Karen and Michael come back with the airfare next
year? We would love that.
I mean, before you log off, I got to find out, are you doing South by Southwest?
I haven't heard yet. The second wave of people has been identified, and I wasn't on it, so I might not get chosen.
I hope so.
How could that happen?
Because we know who your associates are going to be.
If there's any justice, yeah, exactly. Thanks, everybody.